us as a church as we look forward to the celebration of Christmas. Welcome to everybody who is here. We are very glad to have you here this morning. I hope this is a blessed time of worship for you. If you look at your yellow sheet in your announcements, it is filling up. This is a busy time of year here in the church. If you look at the week coming up today, we have cookies and coffee as usual and a time of fellowship afterwards. So feel free to spend some time getting to know one another, enjoying some choice beverages. Tomorrow, you will see that at 11 o'clock, we have the funeral service for Dallas Grieger, who passed away here this past Wednesday. Do be praying for the entire Grieger family. This is a terribly difficult time for them. And then do come mourn his loss tomorrow at that funeral as well. This coming Sunday, we have an exciting Sunday. It is the Children's Christmas Program. I had the delight of being in here as they practiced today. It should be a wonderful time, so we invite you to come out for that. That will be a wonderful time. And then afterwards, there will be a dinner, a lunch, served by the men of the church. That's headed up by Don Berge. Men, if you would like to help, and we would like you to help, just talk to Don either after the service or give him a call on the phone, and he will certainly put you to work for that delicious time of lunch next Sunday. Exciting announcement today, a longtime member here, Clarice Shonsby, who is turning 96 today. So that is quite the milestone. I got to visit her just 2 weeks ago. She's as sharp as a tack, and she prays fervently for this church, and she is a blessing. So remember her, maybe send her a card. That's today. Clarice is turning 96. Concerning the Sunday school program next week, if your kids have musical talent and would like to perform in any way, during the prelude time prior to the program, we would like as many kids as possible to share in special music. So if your kid can play an instrument or the piano or would like to sing a solo of some sacred Christmas music, you'll see Tori's contact information there in the announcements. Please contact her and get your kid signed up. That would be a big blessing. And then, as many of you might have noticed, in the fellowship hall here, or the narthex at this end, there are some quilts set out. The missions quilters have had an abundance of Christmas fabric, and so those are our Christmas quilts, and if you would like to, it's a double blessing. You can contribute towards missions, and you can buy yourself a lovely quilt, and so there's a silent auction over there. You'll be able to figure that out, but go peruse those quilts and make some big bids on those, and you'll be helping the Miriam Children's Home down there in Brazil. One last announcement here. These red slips, if you would like to help decorate our church for Christmas, you can see the details there. These need to be in by this Wednesday, so just a few more days to contribute there. Just fill this out and return it to Linda Fugelberg. That would be fabulous. Any other announcements this morning? Very good. Let us open our worship service with the call to worship from Luke chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Please rise and join in singing our opening hymn. It's O Come, Emmanuel. We'll just be singing verse 1.
You may be seated. Jeremiah 33, verse 14. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. We'll start with hymn number 12 in your hymnal, Hark the Glad Sound. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, number 20 in the hymnal.
Peter 2:24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed in Christ alone.
This time in our service, we do a confession of sins, and repentance is not just this point in time, something we have done in the past, but it's really the posture of the Christian's heart, that we continually confess that we are sinful and that we live and we breathe underneath the grace of God. So as a congregation, please join me in our confession of sins printed here in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you to confess that we have sinned against you in our words, actions, and our thoughts. We come to ask your forgiveness and to seek your great mercy. We come to you in the merits of Jesus Christ, not our own. Look not upon our sins or our iniquity, but wash us in the blood of Jesus Christ so that we may be clean before you. This we pray in his name, amen. Hear these words from Romans chapter 8. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, I will invite Corey to read for us our scripture reading.
All right, our first scripture reading today is from Philippians 1, verses 3 through 11. Please rise for the reading of God's word. Philippians 1, 3 through 11. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Our second reading is from Luke 3, verses 1 through 6. Luke 3, 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judah, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Licinia, Tetrarch of Albalini, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley should be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This ends our reading.
Please join me in boldly declaring our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. This time would the ushers please come forward to receive this morning's offering. Lord, we thank you for these gifts, for your continual provision of our daily bread and so much more. We ask that you would receive these, that they would be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. At this time, I invite the children to come forward. Pastor Micah has a message for you. If you want to come and sit on this front step, that would be fabulous.
Come on up. Thanks for coming. Thanks for being here today. Look behind you as you're coming. We got maybe a few more coming. What's up here that's different? There's a lot up here that's different. We've got flowers, right, and plants. We've got a Christmas tree that looks beautiful. We've got an Advent wreath up there. Two candles are lit, so that's how we count down till Advent, or count down till Christmas. And that's, I was going to ask a question, now I just answered it. What are we getting excited for? Christmas, yeah. That's what we're waiting for, and that's these Advent Sundays, our times when we look with anticipation and excitement for Christmas. Now, why are we so excited for Christmas? Because you get presents. So I heard like three presents in there and like five Jesuses, okay? Presents are okay to be excited about, and that's good. But to be a little bit cliche, and you maybe don't know what that word means, so that's for the people behind me. We get excited for the greatest gift of all, which is Jesus. There, yeah, very good. That's right, okay? And so Christmas is ultimately about Jesus, and we worship him, and we celebrate, and we're excited because when Jesus comes to us, Does he bring presents? What do you think? He doesn't? What do you think?
Santa?
Okay. Yeah. No. Okay. When Jesus comes to us, does he bring good things to us? Yeah, he does. He brings presents to us. Can you think of any presents? What does Jesus give to us? This is a long list. Forgiveness. That's a great one. Yeah, that's right. He gives us eternal life. So forgiveness, eternal life, okay? Those are some pretty cool presents, aren't they? Okay, we could make a long list of grace, mercy, love, okay? He gives us love. He gives us joy, peace, all those kinds of things, okay? Yeah, and so we're really excited for Christmas. We're really excited when Jesus comes. Now, all of that to say, so remember that this Christmas, okay? We're most excited for Jesus and for the things that he gives us and brings to us when he comes to us in our lives, in our hearts, all right? But all that to say, I need your help today with something. There's one thing that's missing up here. Any idea? Yeah, the manger scene. Some of you down here have a good idea because you can see all the manger scene parts. And so I need some help, and there's probably more of you than there are manger scene parts. And so maybe what I'm going to say is some of the older ones, if you can let some of the younger ones help me with this. Does that work? Is that okay? All right. So what do you think would be the most important, most special part of the manger scene that we should have? Veronica. Jesus, that's right, because, again, to be more cliche, he's the reason for the season, right? So I need two volunteers. Okay, here we go. So you guys go, and if Jesus is the most important thing, where do you think he should go? Right in the middle. That's a good idea. Okay, let's see. We should do Mary and Joseph. I don't even know if I'm going to get all these ones right. I don't even know if Mary and Joseph, I think this is Mary. This looks like Joseph. Okay, here's Mary and Joseph. Here you go. You go put that one up. You go put this one up, okay? And let's find some. Oh, here's an angel and a shepherd. Do you want to go put this one up? Here you go. Okay. Oh, I better come down there. That's right. Okay, let's grab some wise men. And these are very special pieces. So you have to be very careful with them, okay, when you put them up. And you can figure out a place to put them, okay? And we've still got a few more. We've got some animals here. The animals we're watching too. Okay. Let's see. Why don't you guys, there you go. You can go. Do you want to help her maybe, Iris? Why don't the two of you share that one, okay? Here you go, and here you go. Okay. Sorry I didn't get to everybody, okay? But thank you so much for helping me. So let's take a look at it. Now, what do you think? Does it look nice? I think it looks nice. Good job. Thank you so much for helping. Okay, you guys can go sit down and let's enjoy that manger scene the rest of Christmas here. Before the message, we've got a special music number that Abby will share with us now.
I'm going to share a song that we actually sang in church a few months ago, just as a regular hymn, and it just hit me as such a special song because it made me think about our human limitations. We have a number of families in our congregation here, even in the last couple of weeks, who are mourning the loss of their loved ones and who have gone up to be in heaven with Jesus, and you know, our loved ones can't always be with us. My husband is sick and homebound, and he can't always be with me. And there are loved ones who can't always be with you. Maybe we are mourning the loss of people who have gone before us, who can no longer be with us. And even when we are surrounded by people, there are pains and traumas and sadnesses that we carry alone that even our closest companions can't even touch or even be close to. And so that's the special thing about the Christmas message. Jesus comes to be with us, and he dwells in us, and he is with us in all of those things. And so this song talks about that, even to the point of death. Death is something that we will walk alone. Our loved ones cannot come with us on that, but Jesus can. He will go with us through the gates of death. And so he is someone who is close, even when our loved ones are around us, to remember that. I'm going to sing Abide With Me.
Falls the eventide.
Amen. Thank you very much for that special blessing and special message, Abby and Rachel and Bria. Abide with me. Remain with me. The prayer, be with me. And that's the beautiful joy and promise and truth of Christmas, of Jesus coming. God with us, Emmanuel, that he is with us. He answers our prayers that way. So thank you for that. Before I start this morning, I have got one other kind of announcement that I want to share with you in the busyness of this season. I find myself easily forgetting that we only have the Patenode family for a few more weeks. That time comes quickly, and I won't get into any of the mushy goodbyes yet. But I wanted to let you all know kind of how the next few weeks are going to go for them, and some just so that you're aware of some scheduling things. Next Sunday, as has already been mentioned, is the Sunday School Christmas program, and so come back for that. It's going to be just a wonderful time. We're going to have our regular service with the program in it at 10 o'clock, and then there's a meal like was announced after the service, so plan to stay for that too. There's also going to be, at that meal, a cake served in honor of Ryan and Stephanie and the Patenode family, so that's going to be an opportunity for you to share with them your well wishes and your thanks. Hopefully you're willing to thank them for this last year, because it has been a great year. We've so enjoyed having you with us. So that's next Sunday, and then the Sunday after that, the 23rd, is our regular worship service. That'll be the last time that they'll be here on a Sunday with us, and Ryan will be preaching that day as well, and so we invite you to be here for that. They will be with us on Christmas Eve also, but then that's it. They'll be taken off to Ohio for a few weeks, and then he'll be starting, and they'll be starting down in Kindred here when they get into January, and so just wanted to let you know kind of how that's going to go here for the next few weeks. We're in Malachi today, and it's Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to read these verses for you, and I would ask if you would please stand with me out of respect for God's word, if you're able to. Malachi chapter 3, reading verses 1 through 4. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Here ends our reading. Father, these are your words. This is your word. And I'm grateful to you today for your word, because your word is effective. It is powerful to save, to bring repentance and faith. And I pray, God, that you would work repentance and faith in our hearts today. I pray that you would grow us in you. I pray, God, that you would come to us in your word and speak truth and love to our hearts today. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated. As I was driving here to work the other day, I was randomly appreciative for our interstate highway system. I don't know if that's one of the things that's on your list of things to thank God for all the time. It usually isn't for mine, but that morning I was. Roads and the making of roads and making them wider and more convenient and accessible has kind of been a theme of my life this year, living just off of Cheyenne Street in West Fargo. If you're not familiar, us West Fargo residents just finished the first year of a 2-year construction project to turn Cheyenne Street from a 2-lane country road into a 6-lane major infrastructure artery through the city. I personally believe it's needed, and I'm glad that it's happening, but boy, that construction was a hassle this summer, and I've got one more year to look forward to it in 2019 also. I think my gratefulness the other morning happened as I fought through traffic on Cheyenne Street and made it onto 94 in the generally easy flow of traffic on that highway. And it made me excited for the day, hopefully a year from now, when a lot of the Cheyenne Street traffic problems will be solved with this bigger road. Within our city, our largest roads make it so much easier to travel to and from work, for example, or from southwest Fargo all the way up to the north to the Fargo Dome for the Bison game yesterday, if that was you, to look beyond our city. 94 makes it possible to easily travel to Minneapolis and back in a day if you want. Or you can continue on to Chicago and all the way to eastern Michigan and to Ontario, Canada. Or go west the other way and get to the mountains in a day. I-29 gently carries you all the way to Kansas City, Missouri, where you can run into Interstate 70 there, and you can turn right and go to western Utah, or turn left and find yourself in Baltimore, Maryland. Okay, good roads make it possible for us to go places where it would otherwise be very difficult to travel, to visit. Verse 1 of our text talks about a messenger who will come to prepare the way. This same messenger is referred to as a voice in Isaiah 40, a voice who cries out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." What is this highway and where does it lead? I'll give you a hint. It leads to a place that would otherwise be very difficult to visit. Actually, a place that would otherwise be impossible to visit. This highway, this way, is the only way to that place. And trust me, it's a place where you want to go. In our text this morning, there are actually two messengers referred to. The first one is that messenger who will prepare the way. Like I said, that preparing of the way is referred to in Isaiah 40 also, and it comes again in Luke chapter 3, verses that Mr. Hansen read earlier this morning for us. Luke writes there in reference to John the Baptist. So John the Baptist is this first messenger that was prophesied about in the Old Testament in many places, and one of them being our text. And he was sent to prepare the way, and to do so as a messenger proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That's Luke 3:3. So that's what this messenger did. That's how the way of the Lord was prepared. Matthew's gospel records John the Baptist's message this way: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In other words, something else is coming, namely the kingdom of heaven. Verse 1 of our text refers to that coming thing as a person, and Malachi is very blunt about who that person is. He says, "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." Malachi then refers to him as another messenger, the messenger of the covenant. "In whom you delight, behold, he is coming." This is an even more distinguished messenger. He's bringing the new covenant with him. The Messiah is coming. The Lord God is coming. Now that is cause for celebration and excitement, right? Verse 2. "But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears?" The implied answer there is that none can endure, none can stand, and that doesn't sound very fun and exciting. When John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus, his message was not, "Get excited, people, because the party is about to show up." It was, "Repent." We love in our minds, our hearts, to turn God into something that he isn't, okay? And it's ultimately because of our sinful nature. We, by nature, don't like being held accountable. By nature, we don't like confessing our sins or our sinfulness to God, but even to one another. We don't like admitting weakness. And so humans, by nature, like to deceive themselves into thinking that God is something other than perfectly holy and the righteous judge of the universe. People devise myths, for example, that God doesn't exist, all right? Or maybe he does exist, others will say, but he doesn't actively care for his people. He's not personally involved in their lives. Or maybe he does care, but that's all he is. He is love, and so let's just get rid of hell and sin and a guilty conscience, and then we can really have fun. This is stuff that's even, frankly, in Christian churches nowadays. Here's a litmus test for you, okay? If you're ever hearing a message, a gospel message, maybe it's branded that way, or a Christian message in a church or on the radio, check, okay? Listen, do they get to Jesus? Do they get to the cross? See, people all the time avoid the cross because the cross is the holiness and justice of God on perfect display. The cross shows us what we deserve, and we don't like that. I was listening to a podcast the other day. It was an interview between two professing Christians who are big names in the Twin Cities sports radio market, okay? So I'm a Minnesota Twins fan, or Minnesota sports fan, all the Minnesota sports. And I've known that these two guys were Christians, even though they don't talk about it much at all on the radio. And so when I stumbled upon this interview between the two of them, where they are going to purposely talk about their faith, I was curious. And the whole time, okay, they're talking about the joy of sharing the gospel and how God has put them in positions of influence, and they're well known, and they have this great platform on which to share the gospel, they kept saying. And you know what? They never got to the cross. They never got to Jesus and his coming to save people. To save us, to save you. And I'm not saying they're not Christians. It's one radio interview, okay? But I was disappointed. You can't share the gospel without getting to the cross. They never got to Jesus and his coming. And that's what the gospel is. It's the message of reconciliation, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we talk about these messengers in our text. That's the message. That's the message that the messenger brings. It's the word of God. It's the message of reconciliation, which says that initially, not everything is reconciled. Not everything is right. And Paul says that Christians are ambassadors, messengers in a foreign land. And he says that our message is that we implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. I implore you today, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. In the words of John the Baptist, repent. Repentance is first of all contrition, sorrow over sin. It's shameful how we fail. God, forgive us. Have mercy on us. When Isaiah was brought into the presence of God, his response was, "Woe is me. Who can endure? Who can stand when he comes?" None of us can. That's the truth. Because of our sinfulness, we don't deserve to be in God's glorious and perfect and delightful presence one bit. My friends, confess that truth today. Because God is holy and just and perfect, and our imperfections and shortcomings don't reconcile with God. And you can try to ignore that or deny it or run away from it, but you're deceiving yourself if you think you can avoid that truth. And this matters to you because, like John the Baptist says as he prepares the way, repent because the kingdom of heaven is coming. This way that he was preparing for us was the coming of Christ, the way of heaven, the way to heaven. And preparing for that means repenting. It means confessing your sin and humbling yourself and admitting that you need forgiveness, reconciliation. The other part of repentance is faith. Faith that God is also merciful and gracious to you. That he does also love you. And not with a cheap version of selfish love, but with the most selfless love. The deepest form of love, deeper than this world could hope to muster. That's the love with which he has loved you. That he comes not to destroy you, but to change you. To purify you, to cleanse you. That's how Malachi describes the work of the Lord when he comes. He will come to make you right. He will come to save you. The prophet Joel describes this in his book. He says, the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it? Not awesome in terms of cool, but awesome in terms of, oh boy, here it comes. Who can endure it, he says. Yet even now, Joel writes, and he's quoting God there, he says, yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, with mourning, with contrition. Sorrow is the word there, is the meaning. Return to the Lord your God. Why? For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. You see, the cross reveals the hard truth of the consequence of our sin and the death we deserve. But friends, the cross also reveals the steadfast love of the Lord. That is the depth to which he was willing to go to save you. That's how much he loves you. The cross is God's mercy demonstrated and God's grace poured over you. The cross reveals God's nature as both just and the justifier. It's okay then to admit that we fall short. It's honest, it's humbling. But God comes in and he showers you with his affirming love. He comes in and he cleans us with the cleansing agent that he himself provided. Martin Luther talks about verses 2 and 3 here of our text in this purifying, cleansing work of God. He says, listen to this, Christ is not merely the purifier, okay, but also the purifying agent. And that demonstrates his justice, his holiness. He's the purifier, but he enables that to happen. He provides the means for you to be purified. That's how much he cares about you. He doesn't just say, come in here and clean yourself up. He says, here, I'm going to clean you for you. And I'm going to use my own blood to do it. He's not only the purifier, but also the purifying agent, Luther says. He's not only the blacksmith, but also the fire. Not only the cleaner, but also the soap. He does not sit indolently or lazily. At the right hand of the Father, Christ is not lazy up there. Rather, he is always working among us, Luther says, vitally working among us, effectively and uninterruptedly, as he is spread abroad over his mystical body as fire is applied to metal. And so he is elsewhere called salvation and not just the Savior. He is the Savior. He's also salvation. That is, he is salvation itself. And then he says he's the laboratory of salvation. Christ is your Savior. And he saves you. He is the messenger of the new covenant. He comes to deliver this new covenant, this promise, this salvation, this way, this highway to heaven itself. And he empowers that covenant. He does the work of that covenant on the cross. And by his victory over the grave. And then Malachi finishes here by saying, then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord. You will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. In repentance, in faith, God works a miracle. You are a miracle, dear Christian. He refines you. He purifies you. He washes you clean with his own blood. That's the covenant that Christ the messenger brought. The promise of salvation and eternal life that he delivered and that he sealed with his own blood. It's the message of reconciliation from 2 Corinthians 5. I referred to that earlier. The message, the call, be reconciled to God. And then the next verse in that chapter explains that reconciliation. For our sake, on your behalf, because of his care for you, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We are reconciled. We are made right. Christ's coming paved the way, the road, for us to become righteous, to become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. The way to heaven is Christ. Christ alone. John the Baptist prepared the way. Christ came and made the way. He became the way. He made us into a living sacrifice, an aroma, pleasing to God. That's some wording in 2 Corinthians 2. And I'll close with a picture from that chapter. Paul writes, thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. That becomes the life of the Christian then. A triumphal procession down the road that was paved by the work of Christ on the cross, his victory over the grave. And so our life then becomes triumphant procession, walking down this road. Christ made the way to heaven, and in him, by grace through faith, he leads us down the highway to eternal life in triumphant victory procession. And so we do celebrate when Christmas comes. But our celebration is so much deeper and more infinitely valuable, because we're not celebrating whatever gifts are under the tree. We're celebrating eternal life, the coming of the kingdom of heaven to you. And that then is why we celebrate his coming. He came and dealt with our very real and eternal problem, and he made a way for us to enter into eternal life. In perfect peace and eternal bliss. We're going to sing about those words here now. So we'll sing as we close. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. A beautiful hymn, hymn number 511. Let's stand and sing it together. Lord, I'm thankful to you for this season of Advent and Christmas, and I'm thankful for the good things that we do have, that you do give us. I'm thankful for family. I'm thankful for the beautiful things, Christmas trees and lights and flowers and plants and all the good things that come with this season. But God, I pray that the best thing, really the only thing that matters about this season would not get lost in our hearts and minds. Forgive us when it does, God. We repent of that today. And Lord, I pray that one thing that matters, the fact, the truth, the glory that you came, would not be lost on us this Christmas season. That something far, far greater was happening when you came, because when you came, you brought with you a new covenant. You brought the demonstration of your justice, of your holiness, of your grace and mercy and love, all wrapped into one. And God, for that, we are eternally grateful. And we praise you, praising my Savior all the day long. Lord, I pray that this season would be marked by praise to you for all you have done for us, that we would be filled with your goodness, lost in your love. Lord, I pray for those in our congregation who are hurting today, some physically. Lord, I pray for healing where that is needed, for comfort, for grace and patience there. Lord, I pray for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. Lord, we pray for those who were close to Sharon, continue to be with them and comfort them as they grieve, for the family and friends of Dale Western, Lord. And now as we gather tonight and again tomorrow with the Grieger family, Lord, I pray that you would be with them, that you would be with them, that abiding in you, God, they would find hope and comfort and peace in this difficult time. Father, I thank you so much for our young people, for our children. I pray that you would bless them as they make their final preparations this week for the Christmas program next week. Lord, I pray for all the different activities going on this time of year. Keep us safe. Bless those times. Lord, and I pray that, again, that you would be the theme of this season for us. Hear us now as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now receive God's benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.